Well, isn't that so cool? Just to have the kids involved like that in everything. They, you know, the kids, they bring a certain kind of energy that I think as adults we lose, right? But kids, they have this boundless energy, which I wish we could bottle and sell, because I think we'd be billionaires if we could, right? It'd be Red Bull, eat your heart out. But kids, what a great job you're all doing. I think that, Sadie, that was one of the best pastoral prayers I think I've ever heard. A lot better than I can do. So, awesome job. Great reading. Bobby was hustling with the collection plate. He was, you know, not doing the polite, just walking past. He's like, if you want to do it every week. Yeah. So, I'm glad you could all be here. My name's Dan, I'm the pastor here, and welcome if you're joining us for the first time. So, kids, I want to bring you around to the front. If you're a kid, can you sort of come up to the front here? And so I want to ask you guys a question, all right? Have you ever done anything naughty? Hands up if you've done something naughty. And have you done something naughty because you've thought you can get away with it because nobody's going to see you? Have you ever done that? Like your mum and dad, they've told you not to do something, but they're not around, and you think, hey, you know what? I can get away with this. You can put your hands down now. I remember one time when I was a kid, guess what, right? You know something I did that was naughty? I had this fascination with matches, right? Trouble. Don't play with matches, by the way. But what I used to do is I'd light matches, and then I used to like setting fire to pieces of paper with them. I know this. Don't copy me. I'm telling you why this is naughty. And so one time what I did, I thought nobody was around, and I went into the garage at my house, my parents' house, and I made a little fire burning all this newspaper. And I thought I could get away with it because my mum and dad, they weren't around. But guess what? I got caught. You know why? Because when my dad came into the garage, he could smell the burnt paper. He could tell that something had been burning. And he said to me, were you burning something in that garage? And at first I was like, no, it wasn't me. But after a while, I knew I was kind of busted and I had to come clean with it. But have you ever done something like that? Where you thought you could get away with it, and then your parents, they say, hey, have you been doing this? And at first you're like, no. And then eventually you're like, okay, it was my fault. Yeah. Let me ask you another question. Have you ever complained about something or grumbled? Yeah? What kind of things have you complained about? Can you tell me, give me an example, anybody? Let me guess. Have any of you ever said this? It's not fair. Yeah? Mm-hmm. That's a classic one for kids. It's not fair. Right? We won't get into today where you get that moral sense from, but how about this? You guys ever argue with each other? Oh, yeah. What about this? Do you ever hear your mummy or your daddy complain? And I bet they argue sometimes, don't they, as well? Yeah. I knew this would open a can of worms if I asked this question. But you're right, we all kind of complain and grumble, don't we? As people, you know, and as kids, we kind of like to complain and grumble a lot, don't we? But you know what? You know that scripture that Owen just read this morning? Do you know that one of the things it says in there? It says that we are all called to be stars shining bright in the universe. Have you ever thought about that? That you are meant to be a star? Who likes stars? You guys like stars? What do you like about stars? Tell me what you like about stars. You like all of them. I know there's a lot of them, isn't there? If you look in the sky. Yeah, they're very bright, aren't they? They shine. They give off this light, don't they? So when things are dark, if you have a star shining, it brightens the whole place up, doesn't it? Who knows? We have a very big star in our galaxy. Does anybody know what its name is, Kayla? The sun. That's right. What color is the sun? It is kind of yellow, isn't it? Yellow, that's right. Do you know yellow is my little girl Dove? It's her favorite color. And she keeps going, yellow, 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 like that. When I was really little, I couldn't say the word yellow properly, and I used to say lello. But yeah, the sun is really big. And guess what the sun does, right? It's the reason it gives all this life and growth on Earth, doesn't it? And it helps us stay warm, doesn't it? And imagine, even though it's millions and millions of miles away, it still makes us hot and warm, doesn't it? So guess what? I want to show you something. We're going to watch a little clip on the projector here that shows us how big the sun is compared to our planet Earth and all the other planets. And then it shows us a bunch of other stars that are even bigger than the sun. So you see how important stars are? They're amazing, aren't they? You see how big those are? And do you notice something? All those stars, some of them are different colors, aren't they? They're not all just yellow. There's some that are red, some that are orange, some that are kind of blue, some that are sort of bluey white. So what I want you to do, right, I'm going to talk to the grown-ups for a moment. But as I'm talking about this passage of Scripture, what I want you guys to do is I want you guys to draw and color a star for me. And you've got a bit of time to do this, all right? Probably about 3 hours before we're done with the message. But I want you to, and guess what? You can choose the star. It can be any color you want. And then at the end of the sermon, when I ask you to, I'm going to ask you to come up and show everybody your stars, okay? But wait for me to tell you, okay? All right. That's right. So you guys are going to make, you're going to create some stars, okay? So you think I was just asking those questions for the kids, don't you? But I'm actually, I want to ask you guys the same thing. Do you do the right thing because you know people are watching and they're going to give you credit for it? But when you're on your own time, when nobody's around, do you still do the right thing or do you get up to mischief? You see, it's easy to do the right thing when people are watching, isn't it? But what about when people aren't watching, when you're alone? When there won't be any consequences to your actions. And when you think about it, in a sense, that's what I think drives criminals to do what they do. Right? They think they can get away with whatever they're planning and trying to do. They know there's a chance they can get caught, but they don't think they're going to get caught, which is why they try to go through with the crime they commit. You know, I'm a C.S. Lewis fan, and I love, there's so many of his quotes that are great, and I'll try not to butcher this one like I did last week. But he said that integrity is doing the right thing even when no one is watching. So that's really what integrity is, isn't it? It's we do the right thing whether somebody's watching or not. And in a sense, this is what Paul's saying at the beginning of this passage that we just read this morning, when he says, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. What Paul is saying is like, hey, even though I'm no longer with you, remember Paul is in prison at this point, he's saying you need to continue in the ways and the paths that I have taught you. And he says, you need to continue to work your salvation out with fear and trembling. That's a really interesting verse, isn't it? What does Paul mean when he says, continue to work out your salvation? I mean, does that mean that it's on us to be saved? We're the ones who save ourselves? Is that what Paul's saying? I mean, this seems to fly on the first reading. This seems to fly in the face of Paul's theology, doesn't it? It flies in the face of the theology of grace that is so important to our faith. I mean, is this the same Paul who tells us that it is for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast? Is this the same Paul who also wrote, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ? So then how can Paul turn around and say, now work out your own salvation? with fear and trembling. It seems a little contradictory on the first reading, doesn't it? It's almost like, you know, a media report on Paul was like, in 1982, Paul said, it is by grace through faith that you are saved. But now we have discovered that Paul is saying you need to work out your own salvation. But what's going on here? One very, very important word. Context. 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 We have to look at what has come before and the context that Paul is writing in here. So what we need to remember is Paul is not writing to an individual. He's writing to a church, to a community. Remember, he's writing to the Philippians, the church in Philippi. He's not writing to Phil. He's writing to the Philippians. This is not a case of writing to an individual. And do you remember what Paul said earlier in this same chapter? This is what we talked about last week, if you were here. He said, be like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. And remember, he goes on and he said, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but to the interest of others. That's what Paul just wrote right before we read this passage. And so there it is again, folks. There it is again, that theme of unity. Unity, that theme that permeates the whole letter of Philippians, is this sense of unity in the church. So what Paul's really talking about here is when he says, work out your own salvation, he's talking about how do you live out your salvation in your life, and very importantly, in the community of the church. Listen to me. Salvation is not only something you receive, but it's something you do. Salvation, it's not just something you receive, it's something you do. In a sense, there's a verbal aspect to salvation. Salvation, it isn't something we get and then do nothing with. It's not like, you know, God bestows salvation on you. You say, well, thanks very much, God. I really appreciate the salvation. I'm gonna take that and I'm going to store it on this little shelf here where it'll be safe. Thanks a bunch, but now I'm going to go on with my life. And, you know, it's just good to know the salvation is there. If I ever need to check in on it, I can admire it from afar. Unfortunately, that's what many people's attitude is in the church, isn't it? You know, people say, oh, sure, I'm a Christian. No, I believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I believe he rose from the dead. But that's it. It doesn't change your life. They're not plugged into a church community. It's just a little accessory to their life that stays on the shelf. But that's not what salvation is about. Salvation should be life-changing. It's not something we get and do nothing with. Paul says we need to work it out. We need to work out this thing called being a new creation in Christ. We need to ask, what does my new life look like with Jesus? How do I live that out? How do we, as a church, how do we do community together? N.T. Wright, who's a New Testament theologian and a fellow Brit, says the following. He says, working out your salvation isn't earning salvation. It's figuring out what this business of being saved means in practice. It's really important to view our salvation like that. The New Living Translation of this passage, I like the way it kind of captures the sense a little bit better of what Paul says here. It says, work hard to show the results of your salvation. So if you are saved, if you have received salvation, there should be a marked change in your life and the way you act and the way you treat others. We can go a little bit deeper here. The corporate nature of what Paul's talking about here is given away by the fact that when we look at the Greek, the words work out and your are both plural in form. You can't really tell that in the English, especially with the pronoun your. We don't know if it's singular or plural, but the Greek language does tell us that it is plural. So Paul's not talking about the individual here. He's talking about the whole community and how we build and rebuild social harmony in the church. Every church has issues in it, and that's because church is full of people, and people have issues. But the church is called to be different from the rest of the world. We're not called to walk away. We're called, remember we were talking about this last week, to forgive each other, to love each other, to work through our difficulties together, because that's what makes us stand out from the rest of the world. If you still have any doubts about Paul's intent here, verse 13 settles it. It says, "For it is God who works in you." So after he said, work out your salvation in fear and trembling, he then goes on to say, "For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose." So what Paul's, he's making clear there that ultimately it's God working in you that will bring about these changes in your life. Which grounds us again that it's not about you earning your salvation in the sense of through works, but living out your salvation through good works. So how do we work out our own salvation in community? Well, Paul says one of the ways we figure this community thing out is by doing, he says, everything without complaining or arguing. Notice there he says everything without complaining and arguing. He doesn't say some things and then other things it's okay to have a good whine about. No, he says everything. And actually, Paul's referring back here to Exodus chapter 16, where the Israelites have been brought out of Egypt and they're wandering in the wilderness and they start complaining and grumbling. And they start romanticizing their life in Egypt. Oh, we used to have a cooked breakfast there every morning. Eggs, bacon, English muffins, selection of jams. We're pretty good in Egypt. And now look, you brought us out of here, and here we are wandering around day after day. What's on the menu? Manna. Manna again. Manna. Manna. And they're whining and they're whinging and they're complaining. And we know what happened as a result of that, don't we? What should have been a very short journey ended up taking 40 years. And a whole generation passed away. That was because of complaining and grumbling. Do you complain and grumble a lot? Are you one of those people? If you're honest, if you look at yourself, you're like, you know what? I probably do complain and whine more than I say positive things. You ever met a person who loves drama? In fact, they can't live unless there's drama going on in their life. If there's no drama going on, they think something's wrong. Right? And they'll create some drama so they can feel better about themselves again. But why should we do everything without complaining and arguing? Well, Paul gives us the answer in verse 15. He says, "So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life." In one word, folks, Paul's talking about witness. He's talking about your witness. We are called to stand out in this culture. We're not called to emulate and just blend into the culture. We're called to stand out. We're called to shine. And I'd say our culture's a little crooked right now, right? It's a little perverse. There's a lot of things we could look to, but we're called to stand out. As the church, we are not called to look like the rest of the world. We're not called to bicker and to fight and to backstab and to gossip and to fall out over petty differences. That is not what we're called to. We're called to unity. And when we do that, we shine like stars. That reference, shining like stars, again, Paul is referring back to the Old Testament. But it's interesting, there's a very prominent church leader, has a big church with many campuses, and is an author of many books. And he recently said in one of his sermons that as Christians, we need to unhitch ourselves from the Old Testament, because that might be a detriment to bringing new believers on board. They're going to see all this stuff going on in the Old Testament and be like, ooh. And of course, this is proof we can't unhitch ourselves from the Old Testament. It is a part of our faith. And it's only through the Old and the New Testament that we can fully understand God's plans, and we can fully understand Jesus and the role that Jesus has to play. So here's an example. Paul is talking about shining stars. He's referring back to the book of Daniel, one of my personal favorites. And he's talking about chapter 12 here, verse 3, which says the following. It says, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. That's a beautiful verse. You know, our culture that we live in today loves stars, don't we? We love the stars that we see in the sky. I mean, it's amazing just to look into the sky and then to see the pictures of things like the Hubble telescope have taken of the universe. But we also like stars within our midst, don't we? You're called a star when you do something exceptional or something that garners a lot of attention or fame. We have movie stars, pop stars, sports stars. We have movies and TV shows where we say, starring. I was recently watching one of the Rocky movies. It's Rocky 2, starring Sylvester Stallone. By the way, what is it about Rocky movies that you can be surfing through the TV channels, right? And you see a Rocky movie and you have to just stop and watch it. At least that's what I find. There's something about Rocky movies. I have to stop everything I'm doing. Oh, Rocky 4's on? I got to get to the part where, the Russian guy, Ivan, says, I will break you. You know, there's something about Rocky movies. But there it is, Rocky, starring Sylvester Stallone. We love stars. But do you realize that each and every one of you has been called to be a star? Do you realize that? Have you ever thought about that? That you were created to be a star? And a far more relevant and important star than the one society values. We're called to be stars that shine brightly in the world by the way we act and love one another and treat one another. When we do that, we become a beacon of light to the whole community, to the town of Billerica. Wouldn't it be amazing if our church right here, Community Congregational Church, became known in Billerica as a community that loves one another, that supports one another, that loves its community? Imagine Community Congregational Church became a church like the early Christian church that confounded the pagan culture around it. That's one of the visions I have for this church, that we're going to be a beacon to this community, to Billerica and the surrounding areas, that people are going to know this church for its love and for its generosity and its outreach. Listen to what the early church theologian Tertullian said. He said, it is mainly the deeds of a love so noble that lead many to put a brand upon us. He's talking about Christians. They say, see how they love one another. That's what I want to see for this church. I want people, first of all, to know where this church is, that this church exists to serve the community. And then I want people in the community to say, man, Community Congregational Church, do you see how they love one another? Do you see how they love the people around us? I want to be part of that. I want to be part of a community that offers love and acceptance and redemption and salvation and a better way to live. Because, Lord, we need that, don't we, in our society right now? We need to be shown a better way to live than fighting and arguing and divisiveness and threats and violence. There is a better way, folks, and it begins with us. the Church of Jesus Christ. So, are you ready to shine? Here's four ways you can shine. Number one, we've got to take it back again, folks, to chapter 1 of Philippians. Chapter 1, verse 27, where Paul, what does he say? He says, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. So that's number one. Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. Share it with others in your life. Live it out in how you act and treat others. What's the gospel, you're asking? Well, guess what? Hey, kids. Kids, I think you've been working on memorizing a verse that tells us what the gospel's about. Have you guys been learning John 3:16? Yeah? Do you think, can you recite that? Can you say that for the congregation right now? Can we do that? How about you stand up and turn around and face the congregation, and you're going to tell them what the gospel is by sharing this verse with them. Big voices. That's right. You applauded those kids, rightfully so, but you also applauded the hope of the gospel. Live the gospel out in your lives. That's number one. Number two, love one another as Jesus has and does love us. He's your example. And of course, the ultimate act of love from Jesus was what he did on the cross. So loving others doesn't involve just doing nice things. There's a sacrificial part to loving others. There's a part that costs you, that can be painful. Number three, trade your complaining and your grumbling for thanksgiving and praise. Listen to that again. Trade your complaining and grumbling for thanksgiving and praise. If you're somebody who's naturally more prone to complain and grumble, and some of us, we're just wired that way, right? Some are more optimistic and some are pessimistic. It's the whole glass half filled, glass half empty kind of deal. But if you know you are prone to grumble and complain, make an active decision to give praise and thanksgiving instead. So when you want to say, oh, you know, oh gosh, I can't believe, instead, turn around and say, what can I be thankful for? There's always things we can give thanks to God for. And while we're at it, in trading things, how about trading your arguing for encouragement? When was the last time you went out of your way to encourage somebody? When was the last time you went up to somebody in this church and said an encouraging word to them? I encourage you to do that more often. Let people know they're appreciated. You know, one of the ways you can do that today is thank all the people who teach our kids. It's wonderful to see them here today in the pews because they can make the service because the kids are here, but often they give their time sacrificially so that our kids can be raised up in the way of the Lord. So I want to say a big thank to all the teachers, to Ella. How about we give them a round of applause, because their task, there's no more important task than raising godly children. They're the next generation. Those are the ones who are going to carry the message of the gospel forward in the world. And number four, which is connected to what we just said, find a way to serve the church. Church is not a spectator sport. We don't just sit here and take, and then leave and come back the following week and do the same. No, find a way to serve the church. You all have gifts that God has given you to serve the church. All of you. No one is an exception. If you're not serving in some way, you're missing the whole point of church, of community, of being part of the body of Christ. There's no part of the human body that does not serve a purpose. Okay, maybe the appendix and wisdom teeth and a few other parts. But you get my point, right? The body needs the other parts, right? The fingers need the hand needs the wrist needs the arm needs the shoulder needs the torso needs the neck needs the head, the head needs the brain. It's all connected, it all has a purpose, and it works together. If you don't know what needs the church has, if you're like, I don't know how I could serve, ask. How can I get involved? How can I be used and be willing to do the humble stuff? Because your Father in heaven sees all that you do, and you will be rewarded. So, are you ready to be shining stars? Let's shine, folks. Let's go out this week and shine so that people say, wow, there's something different about you. What is that glow about you? All right, kids. You guys finished your stars? All right, come up here. Let's show our stars to the congregation. Wow. Let's have a look at these. Those are some cool stars. Ooh. Whoa. And look at this. Bobby says, the sun is bigger than earth, like God is bigger than you. Shine like stars wherever you go. Bobby Lee. That's awesome.
I'm not the coolest planet, but I am hot.
I like that. It's excellent. Not the coolest planet, but he is hot. All right, kids, awesome, awesome job. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you that we are able to shine like stars, Lord, that you have created us for a greater purpose, that you haven't created us, Lord, just to wallow in darkness, but you've created us to shine, to be a beacon to the community around us. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to shine all the more brighter as we live out our lives in our community. Help us to shine amongst our families and our friends. Help us to shine amongst strangers. And Lord, would you fill us with your Holy Spirit? Because Lord, we know that's where the power comes from. That is where the light comes from. And so I ask, Lord, that you would give us a new measure of your Holy Spirit this week. That we would walk in confidence. That we would sow unity rather than disunity, Lord. That we would be encouragers rather than complainers. That we would give thanks and praise rather than grumble. We thank you that you are a good God. And where we are weak, you are strong. So give us the strength as we go forward this week. We ask this through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.